everyone. Welcome to Let's Talk About It with Dora Sherry. Get ready for some lively discussion.
It's time.
It's Dora. Let's talk with Dora.
Let's talk about it.
It's Dora.
Come on, y'all, let's talk about it.
Let's talk with Dora.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Let's Talk About It. I'm your host, Dora Sherry. Tonight's guest is Kenny DeCamp, a man who says it best when he says nothing at all. That's right. Dr. Mime, my friend, Kenny DeCamp. Kenny, thank you so much.
Hi, Dora. Oh, I'm so happy to be here with you.
Oh, we're so excited to have you. Okay, I got to know, inquiring minds want to know, what in the world inspired you to become a mime? And how did you get the name Dr. Mime?
Oh, that's a story and a half.
Want to hear it.
Well, I'm one of the first 10 PAs in the country. All 10 of us were orthopedics. All 10 of us were Vietnam vets. 7 of us made it. And when I got back, I helped to create the American Association of Physicians Assistants that the AMA did not want. They wanted to stop at nurse practitioners and not have this word physician assistant. Maybe if we came up with a different name, they would have liked us quicker. But anyway, I ended up in New York fighting the AMA a touch. And I then became the first PA to practice neurosurgery. After 3 years, it was a little mind-boggling, quite depressing. And I was in New York, so I had, on the side, started taking dance classes and acting, and I had always wanted to be more of a performer. My dad always wanted me to be a doctor, so I was halfway there, kind of a game. And one time when I was practicing as an orthopedic guy in New Jersey, I met this kid named Bruce, and he was singing these songs that I really enjoyed, and I started acting them out. And one day when we were at a concert, my image was projected up on a screen, and I acted out, "My skin has leather, and I diamond heart look of a cobra. I was born blue and weathered, and I burst like a supernova." Anyway, the song goes on and on and on. Well, Springsteen created that song called "It's Hard to Be a Saint in the City." Anyway, somebody came up to me afterwards and said, "Hey, are you a mime?" And that's what got me going. I eventually started taking classes with Claude Kipnis, who was from France, from Paris. He was one of Marcel's main students who left and opened up the first mime school in Greenwich Village. And I got involved with him. And as time went on, Marcel showed up, and I ended up having a workshop with him. And then when I performed my "Hard to Be a Saint in the City" dance, he told me that that's not what mimes do.
Okay.
So anyway, I just put it all together. I'm a mime. I'm a physician, assistant. Put it together, and I created Dr. Mime and started going into schools. I've been in over 140 schools in 7 countries, and I teach them and inspire them to learn as much about human growth as possible so that they can be healthier than what's been happening in our world. So that's the Dr. Mime character. I've been having a lot of fun with it, and every now and then I still get hired as a mime to go to these luncheons and entertain people while they were coming in to go eat, you know.
You're entertaining even just as Kenny DeCamp.
so they say uh-oh, that's my phone.
Well, life happens. Do you need answers? It might be Marcel.
I should have turned it off thinking about this, but you know, who's calling me at this hour?
Well, you never know. Maybe it's Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, I have tried to reconnect with him. We have seen each other, but I was involved with him for about 6 years, but I was much closer with guys in the band. I used to drive Clarence Clemens, the saxophone guy, around because he had a DUI.
Okay, GMA, a band member with a DUI.
Yeah, right. And I said, Clarence, you got so many friends. Why you want me to drive you? And he goes, because you're a dancer and all the girls always hang around you.
That is true. All the girls still love you, Kenny.
I still love dancing. My little girl now, Evie, can dance. I mean, nobody that I've ever met can have as much following rhythm as she does. And because sometimes I get off track a little. She's still on the track.
Well, that's what we need a good woman for, isn't it? Keep us on track. Wow, Kenny. Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my background is very unique and bizarre. When I quit medicine and before I started getting into the lecture series, I got called up to work with a group called the Crystals.
Okay.
I met them on a Sunday and my heart was still to do one, one, one. I think that was their song. Anyway. They were doing a comeback, and then so was I. I started staging and doing choreography and body language work. I even put Gloria Gaynor on a diet when I was working with her for a little while.
Does she still like you after the diet?
Actually, I quit her when she put a pie in my face because it was like after the concert. And everybody's doing whatever they're all doing and drinking and smoking and, you know, that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, we're all on the bus waiting for Gloria. And all of a sudden, she walks up and she's got this big chocolate piece of cake in her pie or something in her hand. And I go, Gloria, that's not in the diet. And she went, in my face. So I went to the back of the bus. And then when the bus was stopped, I got off and everybody went to the hotel, and I never got back on the bus the next morning.
Did you quit?
I quit. I also quit Vicki Sue Robinson, which is a name you might not know. Do you know Vicki Sue Robinson?
I don't know that name.
I know. Her name never really made it, but her songs did. And one song, I got hired by RCA Records to help her. I got a 6-month contract because the poor girl was shooting not such a good drug into her thighs a couple times a week. I know you can relate to the concept of getting lost in drugs kind of a game. Yeah. And I think you're miraculous for all the greatness that you've gone through and sparkling yourself now with those big rosy teeth.
Thank you.
So they hired me, not so much to stage and choreograph, which I did do, but they hired me to keep her off. And she did for quite a while, 4 months, and we were in San Francisco, and after the show, which I even helped open up as a mime that night, and met Lou Rawls at the show, because one of the songs in my routine was a Lou Rawls song at that time. I would take 15 songs, put them together, then the mime would tell the story, falling in love and having my heart broken and all those kind of good things.
Aww.
And of course, running down the back streets or being born in the USA or whatever. And anyway, she never showed up the next morning at the airport. So we put the guys on the plane, and I and the manager stood around waiting to see what the hell. And there weren't cell phones at that time in the 70s. So we're trying to figure out where the hell is she, what's going on. All of a sudden, a limo pulls up. She gets out. It's a beautiful day in Frisco, but she's wearing a trench coat. And she's wearing sunglasses and a hat.
Uh-oh.
And you could see she was a little off, you know, at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And she had a bagel in her hand with cream cheese and something. And that was the first one I got in my face. Gloria came later.
So you had a few things thrown in your face.
I didn't fulfill my 6-month contract. And RCA thanked me and said, we could understand. And, you know, but you don't have to blame yourself for her falling off the wagon. You know, drugs are a little bit more powerful than people in love type of a thing. And so, but then I had a great time when I got back to my manager said, Kenny, I got a gig for you. I said, why? What's a really good one? He goes, oh, you won't believe this one. There's this lady, she was in Hair in Frankfurt, Germany on the world tour. And this guy named Giorgio Moroder, very famous man, created songs, an engineer, super guy. He fell in love with her and went to the show over and over. Finally, he met her and said, I wrote this song for you. I want you to sing it. And if you like, you know, and I'll even give you some credits on it, because she came up with a couple ideas for him. Well, she signs with Casablanca Records, calls up my manager, who also is Chubby Checker's manager. That's why I sent you a picture of me and Chubby, two different times.
Yeah, oh my gosh, so many celebrities you were with. Oh my goodness.
So Chubb goes, my manager goes and says, so Casablanca Records asked us to produce this girl's first show in the United States because the record is selling like crazy in all throughout Europe now. And I said, okay, great. So we rented out the big dance hall. It's very famous in New York, called Roseland. There's even a beautiful movie on it. You should search out and see the movie Roseland. Geraldine Chaplin's in it, Charlie's daughter. But anyway, we do this thing. The name of the show is A Summer Rose, because it was in Roseland, but it wasn't in summer. The lady's name happened to be Donna Summer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And the song was ooh, love to love you, baby.
Oh, wow.
So that was a good one. Another one of my, I look back at it and go, you know, I've had a great life.
Yeah, you have. And you're still having a great life. You're traveling all over the place and having happy hours all over Sarasota. God, I miss that.
Yeah, I'm resurrecting that website. It died in COVID. And my web people all got different jobs, but I just met a man named Sean with the Three Bridges is his company, and they build exclusive website. He used to be the guy that worked with like 24 different television stations, the last place in Denver, I believe he said. And so he's now mounting up a bunch of our original and some of our new happy hour people, and we'll probably launch sometime in April.
That's wonderful. Wow. Yeah. So tell us somebody else you've worked with. This is fun. I want to hear another story about somebody else famous.
here's a cute story that has to do with yesteryear and today.
Okay.
In 1990, I was invited by the Gorbachev Foundation to the USSR. And I was invited because of the mime character I had. And I also owned a performing school that was getting a lot of notice. And this was outside of Chicago. And I was producing a lot of shows, and there were always kids involved on stage. And from very talented soloists doing their own thing to me getting kids in the audience up on the stage to follow me in a mime dance. The best one we did was, I'll tumble for you, I'll tumble for you. Another one was, who are you going to call? The Ghostbusters. And you'd see, and these parents would just love me because their kids were now up on stage performing. And this was three-year-olds. My slogan at the school was, you could come to my class if you're 2 and a half without a diaper.
There you go.
To 87 years old without a diaper.
Oh, there. We were going through that today with my sister's great-granddaughter. She's almost 3 and she's being potty trained. And her daddy was talking about how many years he's changed diapers. I said, well, you know, you got 14 years because his oldest is 14. Oh, I said, wait till they change your diapers. Yeah. I'm going to go live with the one that owes me the most money.
Yeah. So I get in the USSR. And that we're doing a bunch of stuff, and it's like the second or third night I'm there, and they say, they've got a special show now, Kenny, and they're putting this show together just for you, because there's a nightclub on the yacht. The boat itself is running up the Volga River, and it's 180 passenger, so it's not monster, it's just right, a beautiful river cruise. And out comes this gorgeous looking woman and her handsome strong man, and they do some ballroom dancing. I find out they're the ballroom dance champions of the USSR.
Oh wow, I'm honored,
I'm privileged. Oh, this is wild. And they had given me some roses to give to the dancer. So I go to pick them up, and my interpreter says, no, Kenny, not this one, the next dancer. And I'm going, the next dancer has to be more famous than this one. And out walks an 11-year-old boy and a 10-year-old girl. They're the junior ballroom champions, I think. And they did a lambada, the first song. Most people don't even know what a lambada is, but it's one of the most sexiest Spanish dances you can do. And I'm just watching these two kids going, this is totally incredible. And my interpreter says, "That go give her the roses." Aww. So I give her the roses. She's still in, anyway, when they were 15 and 16, I brought them over to the U.S. They got to the U.S. and I toured them around Chicagoland, took them to high schools and dance clubs and took them for a few weeks. And somehow they were able to, and I think I had a little thing to do, I don't remember that much. They got back to the USA in their 20s. She started dancing with Madonna in the background, one of Madonna's dancing. And he ended up building his own dance studio with his sister. His sister ended up getting hired by Dancing with the Stars because she designed dance clothes and made dance clothes, married an Australian guy who did dance shoes and for the stars. Yeah. Well, anyway,
combination, huh?
Yeah. His name is Igor. He's in Nyack, New City, Westchester County, New York, kind of a thing. And he contacted me a little while ago in November and says, "Can you come up here? We've written this dance film and we need Charlie Chaplin in it," because you probably know I also do Charlie.
Yeah.
Without the white face, you know, just.
Yeah.
So he says, "I want you to be Charlie and the Great Dictator." And that's another thing. If you haven't seen the movie, The Great Dictator, that Charlie did in the 1930s, about what was starting with the crazy Hitler guy, who, by the way, Hitler was born 4 months after Charlie. And when Charlie had become so famous worldwide because of the movies, the silent films, and then graduated from talkies, well, Hitler kept saying, "I want to be loved like Charlie. Everybody loves Charlie. I want to be loved by Charlie." That's why he grew that.
Oh. Because, well, how cool is that?
And you know how Charlie got that? This is part of my Charlie lecture. Huh. How Charlie got that was, he was in a vaudeville team in London, 19 years old. Stan Laurel was also in the same vaudeville group with him. Stan Laurel left and came to America and met a guy named Oliver and Hardy, kind of a thing. But anyway, yeah. Stan, his boss said, "Charlie, I've got this scene for a drunk. And you're so good in your antics and your facial characters, but you look too young. Go in the dressing room and figure out how to look older." And so he put a hat on, he put a baggy coat on, he grabbed a cane, and he was looking for a mustache or a beard or something to make him look older. Couldn't find it. He took a postage stamp, colored it black. That's how it got to be that size.
No! How cool is that?
So that went on, and anyway, so I go up to New York, to Nyack, and we film 12 hours worth. We rehearsed the Saturday, film the whole thing on Sunday. I'm back here on Monday. And he calls me a couple weeks ago and says, "Guess what? We got accepted into the Nyack International Film Festival." And so Evie and I are going up on Thursday to be part of the film festival.
Oh, Kenny, that's so cool. Oh, what a great life, huh?
Still all rolling together, you know. And I met you, because of my crazy chef life.
Yeah. That's on. You are an amazing chef. You have come to me.
I was privileged of tasting your food. When I was 63, I'm a Vietnam vet. My counselor said to me, "Why don't you go back to school?" And I went, "I already did my GI Bill and my bachelor's and all that stuff. You know, I got my PA license. What do I want to go back to school for?" "Well, we got a lot of programs for you old guys."
Thanks.
2 years, I went back to school and I got a certified chef's license with the American Culinary Federation.
Wow. You've cooked for some famous people too. I know that.
Yeah. Doris Sherry was one of them.
Yeah, right. In my own mind. I felt famous after eating your meal. I felt like a queen, like Princess Di or Queen Elizabeth.
The thing I loved about my chef was I was working in there's a big private country club here that you know in Sarasota called the Oaks.
Oh yeah. And,
major great place. And the friend of mine was hiring me to cook for her and her husband and everything. And then one day we came up with this idea to have a bunch of friends over. And she said, we're not going to do a dinner party. I want you to create like 10, 12 hors d'oeuvres, fabulous ones, and spread them all around at different locations. And I'm going to invite everybody over, and they all have to bring a bottle with them in order to get in.
Either
a six pack or a bottle of wine or whatever. And so I said, okay, it sounds like a gourmet hangout to me. So I created and it's on my business card, my chef's card now, Gourmet Hangout.
I love it.
We had this one guy who came all the time, and every time he came, he brought those gigantic bottles of a Belvedere vodka. Even though he knew that whatever you brought to the party, whatever was left over, you didn't take home.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. So you became a chef at 63?
Yeah, I graduated at 65.
Wow. Well, I graduated from International College of Broadcasting at 68, so there we go.
Yeah.
Old people, you can teach an old dog.
But you're only 55. How could you, in the future?
Magic. That's how angels are, honey. We can be any age we want to be. Thanks. Yeah, I'm feeling my age a lot more lately. I need your healthy guidance.
Okay, I'll give you the best thing I could do. And I have a videographer now. We're going to be creating a video on this, a YouTube or a reel or everything. Just look up bioenergetics.
Okay, bioenergetics.
Yes. Do it on YouTube first, because you'll watch some people do this certain bioenergetic movement. And I do it every morning when I get up. I do it every night when I go to bed. There are three basic ones, standing and one lying on a bed. But if you read about bioenergetics, it was started by a guy named Wilhelm Reich, Reichian therapy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Not Reiki, R-E-I-K-I, not the hand one, R-E-I-C-H, a German. He was a colleague of Sigmund Freud. And Freud had three major colleagues. One of them was a guy named Adler who said, you know, Freud, you're right. The Oedipus complex, the mother, the father, but you're forgetting about the government and the religion. That also has something to do with your personality. And then the next guy, his name was Carl Jung. Jung said, you know, you're right too, but it's the universe. It's how we're tied into the whole world and everybody. And Reich said, you know, both of you guys are right, but you're missing the biggest thing, the mind-body connection, the sexuality and feeling of your reality in this mind-body connection kind of a thing. Adler, when Hitler got cuckoo, Adler took off for Austria, Jung ended up in France, and Wilhelm Reich went to Greenwich Village, New York. And then he met Alexander Lowen, who was now his protege. And Lowen was my mentor during some of my time in New York, both first medically and then when I did the Dr. Mime stuff. He's the one who really put the book that he wrote with his wife is called The Way to Vibrant Health. Mm. And it's bioenergetics. It's a beautiful book. And on the cover, she's laying on the ground and he's on top of her feet. Type of thing. The craziest looking cover.
Just how it should be, Kenny. That's how it should be.
A woman holding up the man. That's right.
That's right. Well, good woman does.
You guys do. In my life, women are best. Women should be running this world right now. Anyway, we won't go with that place.
I agree, though. Except me. Don't let me run the country. I can't even get to work every day. Oh,
yeah. Well, wait till you're 68.
Well, hey, I got a while to go. 10, 20 years at least, I think.
Yeah, but anyway, get into bioenergetics. You'll see how much it'll help your psyche, your physical energy, you know, you'll have your friends all doing it with you too once they start learning more and more modern. Once I get my film out, but there are some films out, and the basic one is just standing there, and you got to keep your knees bent, your toes are a little bit turned in, and you just let this whole thing join together and relax and become one full complete body. It's very, very unique. And there's a bending over one, and there's a looking up one. Those are the three energies of the bioenergetics.
Being in touch, having, like you said, your mind and body in the same place. Same thing in recovery. You know, you have to set your mind, and then, you know, your mind will control your body. If your mind is good, you know, your body will follow. What they say, a body in motion stays in motion.
Very true.
That's right. So now, what are you doing around Sarasota today when you're home? I know you've traveled everywhere lately.
Well, we're looking forward to going up the Nyack, that's for sure. And then we also just booked, I just finalized the booking. We're going to Portugal because I've never been there.
Oh, wow.
And she has. So, and then from there, we're both going to someplace neither one of us has been. And that's my ancestry on my mother's side. She was a Sokolowski, so we're going to Poland.
Oh, and, wow.
And right now, if you check out online and you say, you know, what's some of the nicest places that people should visit in Europe, Poland and Portugal are two of the places that always pop up.
I've heard Portugal, but I've never heard Poland.
Poland has risen in the last 5 years big time because of how secure it's become. The good government that was created after the real big bad problems. We don't know. I mean, it's crazy the way the world's going. Who knows what could happen by June, kind of thing. I'm hoping and staying positive with it and thinking that it's going to all get better and somebody will be impeached.
Yeah. Well, we got to go through the crap, as my sister says. You know, we better go through it positively. It's a lot better than the negative, Kenny.
That's right.
I find the positive in everything. I don't care what it is. I'll find it. I'll find the good. What's your favorite place you've traveled to?
I love Thailand. I've been there five times. Yeah, I've been there five times. My first time was 1969.
Wow.
My last time was 2 years ago when I took Evie there for her birthday because she had never been there. And we did an amazing 15-day kaleidoscope tour that was just mind-boggling. And then I always do a tour with somebody usually, and then I get there beforehand. I do my own flight, not with the tour company. And then I always stay a couple to a week longer in the same place so that we could have, you know, more fun on our own. And this tour only had, it started out with 16 people. After 5 days, there was only 12 of us. And it was just totally wonderfully amazing. One of the places we went to was the River Kwai. Ever hear of that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And we did walk on the bridge.
Aw, that's wonderful.
And after the bridge, they put us on the bus and they said, we're going to take you to the Resortel now. It's a resort and a hotel. You'll see. It's beautiful. They pull up into this big parking lot in a jungle, and I'm looking all around. I don't see anything except two boats in the water of the Kwai. So we get in these two boats, and 12 minutes later, zooming down, and these are those long, thin boats where only two people could sit next to each other. One boat's got all the luggage. The other boat has the 12 of us and the tour guide. And we zoom up, we come to, in the middle of the jungle, this incredibly beautiful two-story building that has all these other gorgeous looking, not cabins, but they're the hotel cabin kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And we go inside, check in, we go to our room, we walk into this beautiful room. I did some work for the Hyatt. I produced shows for them, grand openings for them for a while in Chicago with my production company. That was with my performing school. So I know a little about the hotel world too. And I went to the guy the next morning. I said, what's the rack rate for this? And he looked at me like, oh, you know, I knew the term. You don't say how much does the room cost. You go, what's the rack rate? And he goes, oh, well, I'm figuring he's going to say $250 to $400, anywhere in there. That's how beautiful this was. Plus, breakfast is included. And he goes, oh, well, if you come back at $65.
So, wow. You can't even get a rent by the hour hotel for that here in America.
Wow. And like I said, we had breakfast with it. And it was just totally amazing. And then we also got up to the elephant country in Chiang Mai and Chiang Rai. We got on a boat that floated around and we stopped off for a minute in Laos and then stopped off for a minute in Cambodia and then back to Thailand. But I don't count Laos or Cambodia on my 64 countries I've been in. You have to spend at least 36 hours to be on my list, kind of a thing.
How many countries?
64.
Wow, Kenny, that's like two a year, right, for your age?
Well, when I was in Japan, I had a small hernia, and I also had 2 week vacation coming up. So, of course, being a physician's assistant in the hospital, I knew all the doctors. So the doctor said, well, we'll fix the hernia, but let's wait until your 2 week vacation's coming up. We'll do the hernia 2 weeks before. You'll recoup for a little bit, and then we'll give you an extra week on vacation.
Hey, do the surgery, right?
So now I got 3 weeks. And because of my rank, one of my friends said to me, do you know about the embassy flight? And I said, no. He said, yeah, there's an airplane. Well, there's two of them, actually. One flies this way, and the other one flies this way. And they always are circling the world, refueling and stopping at major cities where there's an U.S. embassy. And they're picking up things, dropping off things, picking up people, dropping off people, blah, blah. And with your rank, you could just find out when the embassy flight is, and you can get on it if they have the room. Well, I got on every one of them. There was never a problem. They were basically empty most of the time of humans. And so I got from Japan to the Philippines. And of course, I spent 3 days there waiting for the next flight. And then from there, I stopped in Vietnam for refueling. And then it went to Bangkok. And that was 1969 birthday. I was turning 21 years old in Bangkok. So that was gorgeous. And then from Bangkok, we flew to India and we spent 10 days in New Delhi, Agra and Jaipur. It's called the Golden Triangle. One of them is where the Taj Mahal is. And then came back to Japan. And so, you know, right there, I had 4 countries already.
Wow. Wow. What a life, huh?
Yeah, what a life.
And then my brother. You're still not finished.
No, not at all. Not at all. What I'd really like to do, though, is I'd like to find sponsor.
Yeah, to, the money.
help me launch my program for kids. We really need to be teaching human growth education in all of our school systems worldwide. And I came close to doing it in the early 2000s, and then 9/11 came, and then wars came, and now we're back to that game again. It doesn't make any sense. And the only one time, one of my first sponsors for when I had a radio show for veterans, my first sponsor was McDonald's. And they gave me a good chunk of money to do this radio show with this general, Grange. And it was called the Veterans Radio Hour. Very unique program. And in the beginning, we didn't really do let's buy a burger and have some fries and here's the milkshake. We did instead stories about the veterans who owned McDonald's.
Oh, wow.
And that's why they loved giving me the money, because they said, that's the greatest idea. You know, sure, they're still going to go buy a McDonald's. And then we ended up adding commercials eventually that, you know, have it your way or whatever their slogan, Logan was.
Yeah. I think that's Burger King. I think you can only have your way at Burger King.
So the VP that I was talking to after our show was a big success. We were in 56 countries. We were the second show to stream live in 2002 over the internet. And we had all these Army, Air Force, Navy bases tuning into us every Sunday. I mean, it was great. We started at an hour and then we ended up being a 2-hour show. Wow. And just one thing led another. And finally, one day he said to me, he said, Kenny, you know what? I love that idea about your kids thing, teaching kids. That's a great, can we sponsor that? And I go, well, part of my health thing is nutrition. I'm sorry, I'm not going to sell McDonald's in my show or in my school. So anyway.
I think McDonald's should be listed as nutritional because I don't know how many times I've been starving to death and I've stopped there and felt a whole lot better. You're breaking my bubble, Kenny.
Well, I can't remember the last time I stopped in.
Yeah, I don't eat fast food very often either. The older I get, the less I eat of it.
Yeah, fast food and processed are the two things that are, you know, well, fast food is processed in 10 ways, you know, but processing food is what's hurting us. I mean, you look at somebody showed the other day, they said, I used to eat Wonder Bread when I was a kid, and it showed the 5 ingredients. Now, if you look at Wonder Bread, there's like 16 ingredients.
And everything changes.
And 4 or 5 of those ingredients have been banned in Europe for years.
Wow. You know,
our country is just, and you know, and we're the only country that you still got, you know, you go bankrupt if you get sick and you have to have surgery and you don't have the right whatever this way or that way. You know, all these other countries, you pay extra tax, and especially the billionaires and millionaires, and they have health care for the world, for their whole group. Anyway, we'll get back to that someday.
I hope so. I sure hope so. So what are you doing around Sarasota now? Are you still in the entertainment and arts community? Because I know at one point you were really heavy in that, right? In Chicago?
Yeah, that's what kept me here. Because when I first came here, I was helping a friend out whose mom was being taken by a caregiver. She was giving her blank checks that she found and having her sign them and then making extra money. And so I came and I helped her. She had macular D, she was losing it upstairs, and I found doctors for her. And I mean, I did a lot of good stuff for her. And I was only gonna be here 10 months because I had one contract left that I couldn't get out of when I sold my businesses in Chicago. And I was gonna be here and I was gonna go live in Thailand for the rest of my life. A friend of mine who I'd met through the Rotary had 3 businesses there and asked me to come and be the English speaking PR marketing guy for his companies. Wow. And I said, that sounds like a great idea. And plus all those young women there, I'll have a great time.
Yeah, those women are beautiful, I have to say. They really are.
And then I got involved with the Fine Arts Society, which since has changed their name and their game. So I'm not in it anymore, but it was a fantastic group, and I was producing all their fundraisers and fashion shows and luncheons and everything like that. And then the next thing I know, this ultra millionaire woman who's on the board says, you got to come and join the library board. I'm also on that. So the next thing I know, I'm the president of the library board after 3 years of being on the board. Because will you ever hear when I created, I took the library and turned it into a nightclub one day a year?
No. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was called the Crystal Ball. And the first year we rented a stage, it was such a success that I talked the board into buying a $3,000 stage, which they're still using to this day. But anyway, the Crystal Ball was the People's Gala. My ticket, you know, all these galas they have here in balls they have in Sarasota, you know, they're $150 to $500 for a seat. Yeah. We're actually going through a couple of them next week. with the Children's Protection Society is one of them we're going to. But anyway.
That's worth whatever it costs.
Yeah. Children's Protection Center. So anyway, the Crystal Ball, I would have anywhere from 25 to 27 restaurants all handing out a free hors d'oeuvre for a $20 ticket. My friend Steve Seinsticker, that you remember from Libby's.
Yeah.
He said, I'll get the license for that one day and I'll be your bartender. So we'd have 3 bars there. And I said, they have to be happy hour prices. So he's now, everybody's having wine and stuff for $5 or $6 glasses of this and that. And I would have anywhere from 18 to 22 or so entertainers on stage. So you remember Twinkle? She would come and sing.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. He would come and sing. The best. Henry Lawrence, the football star, who also was a blues and soul singer. He would come and sing. Florida Studios Theater Comedy Kids would come. Arthur Murray Dance Studio would come. You know, I'd have, and they, nobody got more than 20 minutes. And it was a 6 to 9. And I raised $108,000 for children's programs.
Wow, Kenny.
In the 8 years that I did them. I did them 6 years for free. And the other 2 years, I took a small percentage for my timing and profession. And yeah, it was a blast. So I'm not doing that anymore.
No.
Now I'm traveling and trying to get more schools for me to go in. I'm doing those for free. Where before I always would find a sponsor, but it's harder to get into a school now as a man.
Yeah.
Even though to be president of the library, even to be on the board of the library, I had to be vetted by the county sheriff.
Wow.
And they did a whole background check on me. I mean, heavy. And they proved that I was a good guy, nice guy.
You have proof. Well, I could have told you that, Kenny.
But now because of the Epstein files and all the other little weird stuff in this world, they don't want a man in the schools. I have it so difficult to go in and lecture the way I used to. And especially when he's telling me you're going to lecture about the human body.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can only imagine.
It puts little triggers in their brains, which has nothing to do with the reality of the positive energy that you get from human growth education.
Yeah.
And then at the end of every class, the kids will all get up and they would dance with me. I teach them the tumble and I teach them Ghostbusters.
Did you teach them how to do the mime makeup?
No, but I tried to show them how to moonwalk, and everybody, kids would try to.
We talked about you coming on tonight in my makeup, and you said you can't talk if you do that. I was going to say in my introduction to you that if anybody starts to feel like they're trapped inside an invisible box, it's just you warming up.
And if you want to learn, and I'll teach everybody right now who watches this, when you do the box, your hand is always a little closed. And then you open and press. Oh, look at that arthritis.
Oh, hey.
That's what the aging does.
Yeah.
Put your hand slow and then press and then come off. And that's how you show how there's a wall there.
Huh.
Now you know.
You learned that from Marcel Marceau, huh?
Well, mostly from Claude.
Yeah, there really is an art to it. I mean, it's amazing. You know, you love them or hate them. You know, the mime is definitely an art form. You know, expression through body language. To me, that's the best.
Yep, I learned once that there were the two most hated professions were mimes and attorneys.
Yeah. Okay, one I can see for sure. But what about the attorneys? No, I'm kidding.
Number three is definitely politicians. Actually, I think they're number one now, but anyway.
Yeah. Wow. Well, Kenny, I want to thank you so much.
Well, it's been great fun.
If somebody wants to follow you and find out more about the energy thing and nutrition, how can they get a hold of you? Where can they find you?
Well, you know, I'm on the Facebook game, the Book of Faces. I suggest don't ask me to be your friend. Instead, message me and tell me who you are, kind of a thing. Then I 90% of the time I follow up. Some of them are a little shaky. And I've also had some two people who try to disrupt my life and my energy. So I have to be careful on what that's all about. I do have some YouTubes up there with my name. You got to make sure it's the EY and not just the Y on the Kenny.
Kenny.
You remember that story?
No, tell it.
Oh, I thought you knew it by the way you just said Kenny.
No, I just felt it. All right.
I'm 18. I'm in basic training. and they're going, DeCamp, DeCamp, come here, DeCamp. And then every now and then it was, okay, Kenneth, Kenneth. And then it was, hey, Ken. And I said, you know, I don't want that anymore. I turned 19 years of age and I said, you know, I'm changing my name. I'm going to be Kenny. No, Kenny, Kenny. No, I'm going to be Kenny.
Kenny.
So you had to add the EY to go Kenny.
Maybe Kenny. I should be Dory. My friends call me Dory. A lot of my friends call me Dory.
I would think so. Yeah, there you go. And that's a Dory.
Yeah, in my family in Kentucky, they call me Little Dory.
So they could find me that way if they wanted of YouTube. I've got a couple videos up there, not as many as I should. I should be putting up more. I do have, when I was doing, I did a bunch of humanitarian projects for Rotary International while I owned my productions company and the school, the performing school. And which is why I got invited by Gorbachev. I went to USSR 5 times, 4 for the Foundation Intellect and once with the Rotary Club, national, international. And I started a project called Health to the Children International. That became the project. The initial project for about 8 months was Health to the Children of Chernobyl. And we were helping a lot of the kids who were facing depression because of losing parents and stuff. And anyway, it changed to Health of the Children International, and I started doing these projects. So I got into Macedonia, and those guys liked me so much, they put me in a white face thing, and they made a commercial with me drinking a beer, their national beer. And the thing is, I'm a mime, and I'm trying to pick up a weight, weightlifting, and I can't do it, and all of a sudden I have a beer in my hand. I take a slug of the beer and I can lift the weight up.
Like Red Bull gives you wings.
Exactly. And then the last one before we quit out, they get out. I'm trying to do some things or I'm whatever, and he's introducing me in scope in Macedonian. I don't, you know, and then you could hear Chicago, Kenny DeCamp. And all of a sudden I put my hand out and I come back with a beer and I take a slug of it and I go, wow, wee, oh my.
Oh, that's funny.
So I was a mime who ended up talking, but I got paid. And what was funny about it was they then sent me photographs. They turned that slogan of me like this into posters and about 8 billboards in the country. Had my mime face on there going like this.
Wow. How did that feel to see that? Is
you
that
can
like
watch that commercial on YouTube.
Yeah, I'm going to look. You know I'm going to look it up. You know for sure I'm going to look it up. Hey, didn't one of the late night hosts say something about you? Were you in a magazine? Was it David Letterman that talked about you?
No, it was Jimmy Fallon, and he dressed
Jimmy
up.
Jimmy Fallon.
And he dressed up like me. I used to have a big mustache. It was my way of sort of portraying Charlie my way. And I also Marcel Marceau, and then I was also Gene Kelly kind of. And that's with those three characters that inspired me to be who I was in the 70s and 80s. And Jimmy Fallon, I met a man named Pop Top Turp. He was a guy who created clothing and curtains and light shades out of pop tops. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
Well, wait till you see. Go online and type in Pop Topping Jimmy Fallon. Pop Topping Jimmy Fallon. And he does a segment on his program every now and then. He goes, don't read this book. One of the books he says don't read is it's a whole book about potatoes, and another book is about something will blow your mind, and while he's reading it he actually blew up his mind on television. And then and he goes, and finally, don't read this book, Pop Topping by Pop Top Turp, Ken Patton. I was Ken, Patton was another guy, and that's how we put our two names together. But I produced and published the book through Chilton Publishing. I sold them on it, and they were a car publishing company. When you fix cars, you got these manuals, and Chilton was the company that did it. I talked them into doing a craft book for us, and that's how Jimmy Fallon made fun of it. But I've got this mustache, and I'm wearing some of the Pop Tops, and I'm standing sort of funny. Jimmy dresses up with the pop tops. They put a pop top outfit on him and a mustache. And
oh, I've got to look that up. I have to look that up. That's too funny. Pop top, Dr. Mime pop top. Oh, you are a delight. I love you so much, my friend.
Thank you, my dear. I love you too. We always have had a good vibe with each other.
Always, always. I've loved you from the moment I met you. You're just one of those guys, we know you're good. Thank you so much, my friend.
You're
and
welcome,
go drink your wine and enjoy your lady and tell Evie thank you for sharing you with us for a while.
For sure, my dear, for sure.
And enjoy your next trip.
A lot of success and a lot of health.
Oh, thank you. I've got them both and a lot of love in my life now, too.
And I'm love. You got it. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm glowing in three ways. Three-way. I'm a three-way light bulb. All right. God bless you. And thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You're a delight. And it's nice to hear what a mime has to say when a mime can talk. I thought that was against the rule.
No, now I'm just going to go mind my own business for a while.
Oh, there you go. All right, Kenny. Thank you so much, and God bless you, sweetheart.
You got it, love.
Bye.
Let's talk about it. It's Dora.